Good afternoon, everybody. I think we're going to get going. My name is Simon, and we're here for Caring Well for Your Mission Partners. And you might be like me. I'm pastor of a church, got the great privilege of supporting 11 mission partners. And what does that involve? Well, I mean, we hear little video reports from them. We go out and visit them occasionally. We send them a bit of money. You're often wondering, are we caring well for our mission partners or not? Well, Mary's going to give us the answer today. So Mary works for UFM Worldwide. She's been doing that for a number of years. Let me pray, and then we'll hand over to Mary for the rest of our time this afternoon. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege that churches have to support, to coordinate, to care for mission partners who are working across the world. And Father, we want to make the most of that privilege. We want to really be a support to our partners and to care for them and love them like Jesus loves them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this seminar will be of help to us as we think through how we can do this better. And we pray this for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. It's a great topic, isn't it? And it's so lovely to be at the conference where the theme is on mission and just thinking that through, thinking through what that means for us in our churches as well. And as we think through how we can support our mission partners well, I'm sure that raises many questions for you about time demands and capacity. Maybe it feels like an extra burden that just feels really overwhelming for you. There are so many needs locally, so many needs in your church. But I very much want this to be a time where we can come together and just think very realistically about how churches can love their mission partners well and can serve them well. What does good support look like, bearing in mind some of the challenges that you face? So out of curiosity, how many of you currently support mission workers in your church at the moment? So a lot of you. And how many of you have sent mission partners from your church? So a number of you, so not quite as many. That's great. I'm hoping all the technology works. It's great. So maybe it's good as we begin to ask the question, what do you think mission partners think is the most important thing to have in place from their sending church? Because when we think about what is good mission sending, what is good mission support, this kind of shapes it, doesn't it? What do we need to include when we think about caring well? So maybe just shout out. I think there is a microphone around. What do you think mission partners would say that they'd most like to have in place? Prayer. Yep. Contact. Say again. Visits. Yep. Consistency. Relationship. Yeah, it's a good number. These were the three most that came off, actually. And, you know, and I think this is repeatedly highlighted in our conversations with the mission partners we support. Not in any particular order, but I think it does show the desire for partnership and having an advocate in church. Interestingly, none of them mentioned finance. And sometimes that's a bit of a go-to, isn't it? Churches give the money. But actually what mission partners are really keen to have is a partnership. So some of those things that you said, consistency and relationship, are really important. Here's a section of what some of them people have said, and I'm going to let you read some of that. But there are some common themes that come out of that. Partnership, having an advocate, alongside prayer, are most often highlighted by those that we support. So what are we going to cover in the next hour or so? We're going to have a little think about a biblical perspective of what it looks like to support well, to care well. Think through what are the current challenges that you are facing in your churches. What are the benefits of supporting mission partners well? And then very much going into the practicalities of, okay, how can we do it well? Thinking specifically about spiritual care, communication, and loving practical care. Before we delve into the practicalities, I think it really helps to biblically frame this topic. You know, when you already have a church full of needy people, there's a world of need on your doorstep, why add in the responsibility of caring for those who have actually left your church and are working somewhere else? In most cases, there will be a mission agency involved, and your mission partner is likely to be attending a local church. So is it really an essential component then for you to fulfill in that additional support? And I think the book of 3 John is a wonderful example of mission care and practice, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. So if you're able to look at that, that would be great. So that's 3 John verses 1 to 8. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. So here we see the care of John to Gaius. We see the care of Gaius to missionaries. And we see the link that the missionaries have to the church that sent them. So we have a beautiful picture here of the churches working together. And the motive for this care seems to be summed up in verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So what does this support look like? What do we see through John? We see a real spirit of love from John to Gaius. He's called beloved many times in that passage. So it doesn't stem from a sense of duty, but it's very much a heartfelt love towards a fellow brother in the Lord. And there's a breadth to the care that he expresses. He gives Gaius encouragement. He exhorts and advises him in his ministry. And there's a real sense of worth and honor in this relationship. John doesn't just take the time to write to Gaius, but he intends to visit him later in that passage. That's something that he's keen to do. And they're fellow workers in the truth. So they're in different places, they're different roles, but they're striving together in gospel ministry. So you really see that picture of partnership coming together. And as John shows this love to Gaius, we see the flow of this from Gaius to the missionaries that come to him. He's commended in that passage for his efforts in love. And we don't know what those efforts look like, but the very word, doesn't it, signifies he went out of his way to show care, to get to know them, and to meet their needs. And when we ask the question of what does good support look like, John, in many ways, he explains that in verse 6. You would do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. That's a very high standard, isn't it, to do that. And, you know, we've looked incredibly briefly at that passage of John, but we also see that example, don't we, in other passages in the New Testament. Barnabas and Paul report back to their sending church. As Paul plants churches, he remains in contact with them. And we see that back and forth movement between workers that have gone out and the churches who support them. But what are the realities of this for you in your churches? For all of you this afternoon, it'd be interesting to know what some of those challenges are that make that hard for you. As we think through how we can care well, we need to think how we can realistically manage that in the context in which you are in. So I thought it'd be really helpful, just briefly, to spend a bit of time in small groups to just to go through a couple of questions. What are the current challenges that you face in engaging your congregation with mission or mission partners? So maybe think through what objections they might bring. What is their mindset towards supporting mission partners? And secondly, what practical challenges are you facing that inhibit supporting your mission partners well? So I know it's always a bit difficult in a room where you've got chairs that are quite close together, but if you're able to get into just some groups with people around you, have a little chat about those two questions, and then we'll feedback and go on from there. Okay, if you bring your conversations to a close, we'll do a bit of time of feedback. It's lovely to hear all the conversations that are going on. And so I'm hoping there'll be lots of challenges that you can verbalise. Typically, people go quiet, don't they, when you ask for feedback. But what did people feel were the current challenges that maybe that you're facing at the moment in terms of maybe the mindset of your congregation in trying to engage them in supporting mission partners? There is a microphone if you're brave enough to speak into it.
But yeah, I think we sent two families overseas probably the last 4 years. And so there's enough people who know them that there's a reasonable connection, but you can feel the drift and feel that loosening. So I guess it's the challenge is out of sight, out of mind, probably.
Yeah.
And it's quite sobering how quickly that happens.
Yes. Yeah.
So again, I had contact one couple, and partly their temperament, the husband is very fairly content. He thinks he's getting the support he needs. He's getting on with things, but actually he shared with me that his wife was feeling quite distant from the church and not feeling much care from us. So again, even that's just one couple getting the same contact. One person is happy, the other person actually feels not supported.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I guess we all have different relational needs, don't we, and expectations, and that plays into it as well. But I think the longer that you're away, a mission partner is away, that relational context, it stretches, doesn't it? People that they knew once, churches move on, churches change a lot in time, and so we'll come on to that. Any other feedback from other groups regarding the mindset?
There's almost a problem between, like, in the 1980s, we supported a missionary with OMF, and we had an airmail letter that you went on a letter writing rota. So a family a week would write a letter to this missionary. But now with WhatsApp, there's almost too much information.
Yes,
there's one missionary that we support, and like every time he goes out to does street evangelism, you know, there's WhatsApps and videos, and it's almost overpowering. You know, there's so much information. So there's
something about managing how to manage information well.
Yeah. And another point that was made was almost being too thinly spread. That just having too many, rather than focusing on a few, that we're focusing on a lot and. That then that maybe loses some effectiveness because we're just trying
to. So if you're supporting a lot of mission partners, but actually it's hard to get to know a lot of people well to the degree that you'd like to support them well. There was one at the front, if you want to.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. We'll do a couple more and then.
I think also maybe leaders not putting mission on the agenda for the congregation. So maybe making certain assumptions about the congregation, you've got a lot to pack into a service, and over time, maybe just relying on those who you've delegated missions to do that, but actually maybe church leaders need to take a bit more responsibility.
Yeah, so there's a leadership element to that, as well as it being part of the congregation's role, that actually you want the leader to promote that in a church, to facilitate that. Yeah. Okay, if we have a couple more questions, a couple more areas of feedback, and then we'll need to move on.
I think we had a mixture of things. We had new Christians coming in who obviously haven't met partners, and they just don't know them, and it's really hard to sort of create that connection. And also, surprisingly, new Christians coming in who see the challenge locally, and they don't understand why we're involved with someone so far away when there's a local need.
Yes.
And I think the other thing we discussed a bit was busyness. People just feel overwhelmed with stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
And this is just
There's a lot of need.
Step too far.
And
with that, people sort of get to know the names and the information, but there's a struggle in getting them to emotionally connect, engage.
Yes.
With folks.
I think that's difficult. Quite typical. Yeah, we had one more here at the front. Is it Henry? Yeah. And then we'll move on. We'll talk about some of these things as we go through.
Well, lots of people said the same sort of similar things, maybe too thinly spread. A bit of an add-on maybe to a Sunday service as well at times, or a quick 5-minute update and then move on. And people who are new, 5 minutes doesn't quite cut who they are, what it is they're doing, and why we should be supporting them, be praying for them. And even practical things like maybe, you know, not including it in the church's notices, a prayer letter. So being intentional about those sort of things as well. I think there's some of the challenges that we face.
I mean, there's a huge amount of need. There's a lot of busyness. There's something there about being very thinly spread. And how do you get to know your mission partners well enough that actually the whole church can do it well together? Some of these things we will be talking about. Some of the common themes, some of which you've raised, a focus on the immediate surroundings. I think it's very common. There is enough to do locally in many ways. There's huge amounts of needs on your doorstep. It can be so easy to feel swamped within. And I think it's remembering, isn't it? It's not a competition of local mission versus global mission. It should be both. Those two things go together, and they always go together in Scripture. Growing the local church and sending out. So it's helpful to have that in your mind, isn't it? And you haven't raised it today, but I think sometimes there can be a sense as well that, oh, maybe national is the best place to do that work. We don't want to offend with our westernizing influence. And maybe if that is an issue, maybe some of that is intentionally just thinking through as a church what type of ministries you want to support. Maybe it's sending workers for roles that nationals can't do at the moment. Maybe it's focusing on training those workers. Maybe it's having a focus on least reached areas. And maybe you've got a congregation that just aren't that interested. You know, it's just not relevant to me in my situation, in my context. And some of that is raising that eye to the vision, isn't it, of all that God is doing. And we're going to talk about the benefits in a minute. But some of this is people recognizing that whilst mission happens in a different country, it is the same God that is working. Meeting mission partners, hearing those stories firsthand, really helps them understand God's faithfulness and to engage that this is the same God that works around the world, that is working in your church locally as well. And we're going to talk a lot more about the practical ideas of how we can grow some of those relationships, how we can think about communication and share some of that responsibility across the church. And I hope that at the end of the session, there'll be time for you to reflect as well and to come back to think through, okay, these are the challenges. This is what we've heard. How can some of those things be worked through in your church? So that brings us on to the benefits. There are many, many benefits. You know, when there's a good connection between the church and its mission partners, what can be the outcomes for you as a church? You know, I've listed 6 here. You will probably think of many others in your church. But I think it very much widens your vision in your church. You know, it's so easy to be absorbed, isn't it, by your local struggles and your context. Or maybe it's you're discouraged by all that's going on locally, but actually the prompt to look outwards and to see what the Lord is doing across the world can be such an encouragement. People are being saved from all sorts of different backgrounds and context and religions, and it's so good to be reminded of that, isn't it, and to hear testimonies of it. That's good for your congregation to hear those stories. And linked to that is the encouragement of seeing gospel work lived out in often really hard context. You know, hearing the reality of someone else's struggle, but seeing how God is faithful to them, how the Lord provided for them, how the Lord met their needs, that can really help spur somebody on, help spur those that are discouraged in the church on. And I think for us in our culture, we can be quite comfortable with our comforts. And it's really good to hear stories where maybe people don't have those same comforts. Courage is a sense of thankfulness, doesn't it, in our own hearts for all that the Lord has given us. it can help your own church engage cross-culturally, locally. And some of that is thinking, well, how can you use your mission partners to think through some of those cross-cultural challenges you might be facing? You know, your mission partner can potentially come and do some outreach or some training with you when they're back on home assignment. Think of it as a two-way learning process. You know, use them, use their experience, use their understanding of some of those cultural contexts. That can really help you locally. And I think it can also help, perhaps particularly in our context today, there can be a lot of maybe bad feeling against other cultures. We see that in the media, don't we, of that sort of maybe a hardness of heart. And that can come into the church as well. And I think the more you engage with other cultures and you hear how the Lord is working and saving people of other cultures, that can help soften the heart of some of your congregation members, maybe in a context where there's a bit of suspicion. It can present your church with new opportunities to engage in outreach and discipleship. So maybe think about organising a short-term trip as a group from your church. Maybe encouraging individual visits for various members of your church to some of the mission partners that you support. It's a great way to learn about mission and other cultures, particularly those who are contemplating it for themselves or maybe aren't sure about next steps. And I think it's a reminder as well, isn't it, that anyone can be involved in mission support. You know, in every church, I'm sure you can all identify, there will be people who say, oh, I can't do anything. I'm not really gifted at anything. I can't be of any use. But you know what? In this context, they can always be of use. They can write to a mission partner. They can be involved in prayer support. They can help financially. They can help with some of the practical needs. They can have a really significant part to play in encouraging some of your mission workers. Remembering that God uses everybody, isn't it? And it doesn't matter your personality type. God will use any type in his mission work. We've recently sent a lady in her 70s to Uganda. She wants to use her retirement well. Such an example, isn't it? A different perspective of what retirement could look like. But a wonderful example of how you could use at older age. So that beautiful spectrum of all that God does. In the context of people in your church. And it can be a real benefit for children and youth as well. You know, think about as a Sunday school, how you can get your children involved, the young people involved, in supporting a family overseas. Get your workers to send in video clips of what their life is like. Encourage that relational connection with children from a young age. They'll see life in a very different context, but they'll also see that some of those struggles are the same. That it's their God is a big God, a God in your locality and a God overseas. So we're going to hear a little clip from a lady called Jill, who was a missionary in Mongolia, just on that topic.
I think that God sends people, whether they're sent in Britain, whether they go overseas, but it's the whole church is involved in mission, and I think can be an absolute treat and an absolute delight and encouragement to see what God is doing overseas and what he does through people who work cross-culturally. You know, so I think it's an opportunity not to be missed. I love it and love it when churches are involved.
We're going to hear quite a lot from different mission partners as we go through this second half of people's experiences. And we're going to think very practically about how we can care well. So we're going to come to spiritual support to start with. You know, as you shepherd the people in your church community, I think some of it is remembering that your mission partner is an extension of that. They're not such a visible part of your church family. That was fed back earlier, wasn't it? So care isn't going to happen unless you put something in place to ensure that it does. As you think through how you are shepherding your church flock, investing in their spiritual welfare, how you're equipping them, how is that in place for your mission partners, who, albeit they'll be spiritually mature, men and women, they still need accountability and they still need encouragement. You know, in many ways, ascending church is like a base camp, supporting the foot soldiers who have gone out. And your workers are at the forefront of a battle. And they face a unique set of hardships as they serve the Lord outside their normal context. But they're men and women just as you or I are, and they face their own temptations, anxieties, and imperfections. You know, many mission partners will feel a real pressure to present a certain image, you know, that they've got it all together. They're the spiritually mature ones who have been sent out. And that can really prevent them from openly admitting some of their spiritual and emotional struggles. I'm sure you'll all identify with a pull to overwork when you're surrounded by needs around you. That's the same on the mission field. You know, there's a strong tendency to do many, many hours. And there are temptations and loneliness. There's often relational tension as well. And I think they will be attending a local church, but local church communities can be very, very small on the field. And initially, language and culture will really infect the relationships that are formed. So you may have sent them out and they're attending a local church, but actually they won't be understanding necessarily for a long time. And they won't be able to form really deep heart relationships for quite a long time. And often there isn't good teaching. Often there'll be a different theology taught at the church that they attend. And yet they're constantly interacting and giving out to others. So it's really important to ask, how are they being refueled in the Lord? Who are the ones encouraging them to stand firm? So the question is, if there are multiple churches involved or you're not the sending church. So I think there's a sense where even if you're a supporting church, you can still have some of these conversations of spiritually, where are they at? My prayer and hope will be your sending church will do it well. That's what we're hoping, that you're sending out and there is that accountability, pastoral accountability with the sending church. Doesn't always happen. And I think there's no harm in having spiritual conversations with those that you're supporting. You may not have that final accountability, won't lie with you as a supporting church. But you know, each of us will have a variety of people that we will talk spiritual things with. We'll share our heart in different ways. You can be encouraged spiritually by lots of different people around you. So I would still encourage, as a supporting church, to still invest in that way. But maybe there won't be the same level of accountability. So we're going to hear from some of our mission partners. So we're going to hear from Uganda, Thailand, Mongolia, and France, different workers. Hopefully, you'll hear it.
I think being here has been quite isolating. It's taken a long time to build trust with people here, and having a good support from home with people that you have previously built trust with is just so helpful, so powerful. I think also the context I'm in, there are a lot of churches, but the churches are not necessarily theologically sound. So I have really appreciated pastors getting in touch and just checking in with how I'm doing with questions of this and that, because it's so easy to get confused with different teachings that are kind of from the Bible. I would really have really valued individuals checking in with how my faith is going, where my struggles are, and also where I'm finding joy in Christ. Individuals have been really supportive in that. There's lots of ups and downs in life, and I think pastors can be so good at checking in emotionally and spiritually, and just making sure that you're keeping well in those regards.
And we were part of a local international church which had a big turnover of people and leadership, so it was quite hard to establish long relationships there. And to have a sending church back home that you knew were supporting you in prayer and financially and really invested in you was a huge help when there were difficult times and you needed someone to give you some wisdom and advice. So yeah, it was a key part of our time there, and I think it helped us stay there longer. Well, I think the prayer part was a huge factor, and they would have like days of prayer when they were just praying for missions, and you would send an update and they would all get together, and just to know that that was happening was a huge encouragement. But sending books, our pastor often sent books for Christmas and things like that, which was really lovely. And things for the kids as well, which was also really helpful.
And then we had contact. Especially when we went home, we were fortunate. We could go home every year. So we spent some of the summer at home. And then having time with the pastor was a really, really helpful thing.
But not only that, we knew they were praying, but they would get hold of the names of people that were in our lives, people that we were working alongside, and they would be praying for them too. And so I think that was a great encouragement. And you would go back to the church and be sharing, and they'd ask you, oh, how's Byra? Or how's Yanja? And you knew that they were entering into the work with you. And so I think that was a profound encouragement to us spiritually. So often the pastor and others involved in leadership would just remind you of why you were there. They knew that we were sent by God. And when you had the moment where you think, this is too hard, this is too much, I'm going to give up, they would remind you of your calling and the fact that, look, we're with you, we're standing with you, we're supporting you. You're out there, but you're not alone. And I think that was really so key in those moments when it felt really hard and dark, to have people who understood and said, God's called you, we're with you, stay with it.
So I'm now in the third ministry context that I've been in since I've been in France. And each time that I've changed, I've talked to my sending church about it. And they've had lots and lots of wisdom. So I think that kind of long-term view, long-term oversight, particularly, I've had the great joy of the pastors remaining pretty much the same throughout that time. Although some of the other church staff have changed, that's been a great value as well. So we know each other pretty well, and they've kind of walked alongside me with it over that long period of time. And then sometimes just when I'm thinking through ministry questions within my own church context here, it's quite helpful to have an outside view, and particularly the pastors of my sending church are willing to chat through things with me, either when I'm around in London or even this last week. One of the pastors, we had a phone call and we chatted through some ministry questions. That's really precious. That's been a really precious partnership, both in times of change and in times of difficulty, but also just wider reflection. It can be just really helpful to have somebody outside of the situation to give a kind of outside view, and maybe a slightly different view from somebody who's within and knows everybody and knows all of the ins and outs. So somebody who can take a bit of a step back can be really helpful.
So there's some helpful principles there to think through, and spiritual accountability is a big part of that. And there's some quotes from workers here, different ones. It really makes it feel true that our church leadership is really shepherding us and has authority over us, and we're not just lone rangers out doing our own thing with no accountability. We actually want good accountability rather than to just be trusting our own instinct all the time without any guidance. And another worker, my church helped me prepare before I left. The eldership asked important and challenging questions that might have been difficult to ask if they weren't invested in my spiritual life. So there's something there, isn't there, about providing opportunities to touch base with, whether that's the elders or the pastor, for an element of spiritual accountability and for an opportunity to discuss theological challenges and guidance. You know, they may face very different viewpoints in their new context and feel uncertain how to approach them. So is there a mechanism in your church that enables them to connect with someone, someone that's skilled, that they can discuss those things through with and perhaps not be shocked that they're asking the questions in the first place? And some other principles here. We've already heard a little bit about the importance of being a partnership in ministry, to have guidance in direction and focus. But I think one thing that comes out again and again is having a link person for a regular connection. I think that's really key, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute when we think about communication. But to have a consistent person that can link up with a mission partner to share, to pray, to delve deeper, to encourage that link worker to ask some, to be able to delve spiritually with them, to have that relationship with them, that they can ask those questions. You know, what have they been learning in the last month? What has encouraged them? What has challenged them? How is their relationship going with the Lord? You know, to have that relationship that they can ask those questions that go beyond the superficial. And that person, there can be a mechanism where that person can feed into the leadership of the church where needed. And maybe that might include reading a book together. Maybe think through what resources have been really helpful for you in your church. Are there things that, as a church, you're doing together that you can incorporate with your mission partners? If you're hearing that they're anxious or that they're struggling with loneliness or there are certain aspects of leadership that are hard, are there targeted resources that you know about that can help them? Linking in with a home group can be another helpful tool as well, really helpful for group connection and support. And potentially it could work to, for the mission partner to zoom in. That obviously depends on availability and time zones. But it's lovely to have a connection with another group of people that they can have relationship with. To be able to share prayer needs. We've talked about the beauty or the curse of all the WhatsApp groups. But is there someone in the church that can take a lead on that? Again, it doesn't have to be one person. It could be many people. A prayer team, maybe. You could have a different link person for each mission partner. But is there someone that can share some of those prayer needs? And both maybe the more personal and the more broad. And I think through that when they are home, on home assignment, do you have a mechanism to have time for a debrief and review with them? It really helps to show regular accountability and care. So we're going to move on to communication, which is always a biggie, isn't it? Think about communication as a partnership. And another big aspect of pastoral care is in how we communicate with each other, isn't it? And you can see that love and care that John had for Gaius in the way that he wrote to him. And John was able to speak with wisdom into the detail of Gaius's life because he knew his situation. He'd heard the reports about how Gaius was doing, what he was doing. And that's really important, isn't it? You know, to speak, pastorally speak into someone's life with wisdom, you do need to know them. You do need to know the detail of their lives. And that takes regularity and it takes intentionality. So some helpful principles is starting with regularity. Speaking to someone on a regular basis maintains that friendship. Someone mentioned consistency at the beginning, and that is key because it builds a bond of trust, doesn't it? And it means you don't have to start afresh every time you have a conversation. It makes it so much easier to follow up on concerns and events that are happening. And it gives the opportunity to the mission partner to talk about things that have suddenly arisen. You know, it's not something that they talk about happened 6 months ago. If there's regularity, those things will happen on a fluent basis. You'll know their situation and you can be involved before it becomes a crisis. It really helps with accountability. And as it's regular, you're more likely to see patterns in their lives, ways in which they typically respond to situations. You know, yeah, is there a way that they typically react when their life becomes hard? It's helpful to know those things, that you can speak into them. And that with that comes depth then, and that gives you the ability to ask those deeper heart questions. And that trust grows out of a relationship where your mission partner knows that you care deeply about them. And it doesn't need to be you as a pastor. That can be a specific other person in the church, someone that has pastoral skills, someone that is able to do it on a consistent basis. And that's where a designated worker in the church for each mission partner can be a really helpful thing. There's a couple of quotes up there. Sometimes the communication can seem generic, i.e. send us 3 prayer points by Friday. Sometimes I would love a call rather than a catch-all message. It's hard to truly share with a message like that. I have 2 examples of churches. One has given me lots of money, but no emotional, spiritual, or pastoral support. The other has given me very limited money, but has sent messages, spent prayer meetings praying for me, really taking a genuine interest. Money is needed, but I would rather be struggling financially and have people walking this journey with me. And I would say that's really key across all of our mission partners. yes, money is needed, but there's someone walking with you on the journey is so much more important. We're going to talk a little bit as well, just thinking through how that relationship being two-way is important. So it's not just you giving to the mission partner, it's also the mission partner giving to you. And so hopefully Jill will talk a little bit about that now.
Primarily, we went to actually listen to what was happening in the church. It's a two-way thing. You're sent and you're supported, but also the church in Britain has a ministry too. And I very much, we've always wanted to know what's happening in the church. How can we be praying for you? And then we would also, if we were invited to teach, if we were invited to present, then we would do that. And of course, most churches would have you present and talk about what was happening. I think two-way for us, always thinking that this church is supporting or sent us, but actually what is God doing here and how can we be supporting them?
So thinking two-way. And again, this is something we hear all the time from our mission partners. They're really keen. It's not a one-way street. They want to hear back about the church. They want to hear back about what you guys are doing, how the church is growing, and what they can pray about for you. It's very easy, isn't it, for you to fill out the loop in their lives. It's also very easy for them to fill out of the loop with what's going on in the church back home. So do send them your prayer bulletin, your church bulletin, just your prayer points. Use WhatsApp groups where your congregation can get involved and send back replies and prayer points to them. As we've said before, use your mission partners to help you with training. Use their videos, use live links in church to help grow that concept of mission. You'll find most mission partners are really keen to do that, very able to do that, and it can really help to engage the church. Use them to host a short-term team from your church. See them as a benefit and a resource for your church, as well as an individual for you to encourage. Very much, again, it's a partnership between you. So maybe it's thinking through how can you grow what that looks like. How can you grow that partnership? And making sure that when your workers are home, you give them opportunities to share. They do expect that. I know they're tired when they come home, but they do expect and want to share what the Lord is doing and what's going on in their ministry. One thing that our mission partners have mentioned as well is just that sense of accessibility. Is there someone in your church that if they are struggling, if your mission partner is struggling with an important issue, who can they get in contact with? Again, it doesn't have to necessarily be the pastor, but is there someone you can identify in advance that person can contact? And I would say make sure that person has the capacity to reply. You know, people are busy, aren't they? But who is that person that you can identify? Someone mentioned visits at the very beginning of being a value. And it's a great way to see the context and challenges that your mission partner is in. I know there's obviously an expense part of that. It is expensive to go and visit. But it is an invaluable way of connecting with the ministry and seeing both the challenges and the joys. And there's a quote up there from someone who very much felt the lack of support because there wasn't any visit. We often felt like the church didn't understand the pastoral needs of cross-cultural missionaries living away from home. Sometimes it felt like they expected UFM to do the majority of the pastoral care. Other times, it felt like they thought we had the same needs as ministry partners working locally. That's where I think a visit in the first year might have really helped our pastor understand our situation and how much we needed the church's regular pastoral care. I think you learn things when you go on a visit. You see things, you feel things. That makes a big difference. And I think key is delegation. This isn't something one person should be doing on their own. This isn't something to be left to the pastor to do. And I think all too often it can end up that way. But the whole church is called to be building up one another. So how can these little roles, these different roles, be spread out amongst the church? How can that be shared out? Some of you will have mission teams that can take a lead on organising events. Maybe they can collate prayer points. They can arrange video links or recordings or take a lead with practical care needs. Maybe having a team of people who can be link contacts. So individuals that have a pastoral heart and the willingness to give consistent input. And make sure there's a system where there's good feedback of that into the leadership team. Is there an elder on your team who can set the mission agenda with you and then help to delegate the responsibilities? Link them up with a home group, each mission partner with a different home group. So what activities can the home group take on? So how can the whole church get involved? And maybe it's worth thinking to be really intentional and thinking that through. What can different people, what can different roles be given out to? So we're going to hear a few more clips on the realities of that.
Because communication is two ways. And if I'm just giving you all my news and you're not giving me anything back, I don't know that you're either listening or engaging with me. And how you can't have a relationship that's just one-sided of me doing all the talking. So it's actually so appreciated when someone gets back to me and says, either, wow, praying for you, thank you for keeping us updated, but even better, thank you, we're praying for you, and this is what's happening in my life and how you can be praying for me. And just, it's been like people keeping in touch and hearing from their lives and knowing how to pray for them, knowing how to love them well, knowing what's going on in their lives is a blessing, because I can get so bogged down in my world here that I forget what others are going through over there.
We always had a meeting every time we were home with the mission committee of the church, and they were very invested in doing whatever they could to help. And we also had link people within the church who would promote whatever needs we might have for short term, say a car for the summer and that kind of thing. So both of those things were really helpful. And yeah, the mission committee would ask some kind of searching questions about how you were doing. And yeah, that was a good sort of level of accountability every year as well.
We had flooding, which was really quite traumatic. And one of the members came out to help us during that time. And we knew that the church were there to help and care.
And they also sent a mission awareness team once, which was a great way for others who would not normally have been involved in the church to really get involved and see what was going on. And a lot of those actually went on to do something else. Mm. So, that was a real benefit to the church as well as to us.
And the pastor came a visit twice, didn't he?
Yeah,
which was, one church came twice, one of the pastors from another church came once. So just to know that they'd come out to be part of it, was to see what we were doing and to understand a bit more, was really lovely. Well, I think it just helped us to know that they were always, that was what was lovely, is we knew that if we wrote to one of the pastors, first of all, they would contact each other. If when we went through some real issues, we nearly faced burnout once, and the three of the pastors got together and worked together to work out how we could stay in Chiang Mai, but actually have a year off. That's what we really needed. So they supported us through that. But it just helped us to know that we were cared for, that we were supported. And sometimes when times get really dark, it is nice to know there is somebody that you can talk to. And we knew that we would get answers to that.
But it's also, I think it also showed that it was a partnership, that it wasn't just us with the church sending money, that we were an extension of the church. So it was their ministry, and we would just happen to be the ones on the ground. I think that was important too. Mm.
I think, I mean, we were from a church of just an amazing variety of people, young people, old people, and of course the pastoral team. But it was the fact that everybody did something, whether they wrote us a postcard, whether they wrote us a letter, whether they sent, just a bag of dried vegetables. We couldn't get fruit and vegetables when we first went to Mongolia. You know, the little old ladies in the church would send you a piece of cheese, which was slightly mouldy by the time it arrived. But it was the fact that everybody had some little involvement that was just such an encouragement and made you just have that sense of being loved and to know that you were prayed for, but the physical things were really important too. A practical help to us. We had a business, and very often we needed to do practical work to, you know, make changes, and a team would come out and just be involved practically and visiting the church and drawing the church in and making friends with people who were our friends. So yeah, those visits were important for us. Yeah, great to see people, but also they were important for the Mongolians too, who could identify that we were somebody who was sent by a group of people who were praying for us and praying for them too.
So lastly, we're going to think about just some of the practicalities. And I think particularly when people come home on home assignment, do ask what your mission partner's needs are. Sometimes they're a bit reluctant to say. They already feel the pressure of being supported financially. So do ask them. And I think particularly when it comes to home assignment, things like accommodation. For some folk, it can be really expensive to live near the sending church. Depends a little bit where you're at. Will they need to stay in one place? Will they need to be in several locations while they're home? What is their transport options? Most will have sold their car when they went overseas. So again, just thinking through some of those practicalities. I think it's helpful to be talking through perhaps expectations when people come home on a home assignment. How much time do you expect them to be spending with you compared to other churches? Be aware of their tiredness levels as well. But think through maybe in advance, are there different ways that you can do feedback in the church? Are there different ways that you can accommodate them mixing with people in your church, mixing with different groups, being able to share across the spectrum of the church, but in a way that is helpful for both of you, to show relational care, but not necessarily to overload them. So have those conversations before they come back, maybe before they even go to start with, in terms of some of those responsibilities. And I think too, just thinking through being aware of the whole family, how can you show that you care for the children as well as the parents? They go as a family, or maybe they've started a family when they're overseas. But actually, how can you connect or keep that connection going with the children? Are there ways that their children can have contact with their peers at church, at Sunday school? That makes it so much easier for families coming back on home assignment if there's already a connection with some of the children, if there are ways that they can be included. Use photos, use Zoom links, use videos. Kids are great at making videos these days, aren't they? You can get kids to make videos and send across. Remembering birthdays are particularly important for children. Sending cards, messages, parcels. It's reminding them that they're not forgotten, isn't it? And there's a quote up there. I guess our kids don't really connect with the church as they left when they were small, and they don't really have friends there. In hindsight, it would have been helpful to ask specific people to look out for our children in some way. I guess some home group picnics have done this in recent years by providing games for the children to feel involved. And I think the longer someone's away, the harder it is for that connection to stay. So it's very much thinking through how can you maintain that through the years, through the times when they're home. And I think just as the opposite spectrum of that is thinking about maybe elderly parents. Again, the longer you're on the field, people's parents are getting older. Is there a way that you can be a support in that way as well? That might depend where those parents live, whether they're involved with the church or not. But again, just being aware of what some of those needs might be. I asked what helped our mission partners feel loved. So we're going to finish with a few more clips, and then we'll have a bit of time just to think through how we can apply in your situation.
The whole church, definitely, from the youngest to the oldest, have been involved because we have family Sunday school, and the children have written me in little letters, and they were posted, so they arrived with me, and that was just really encouraging. And I have done video updates for the church and as well for Family Sunday School. So when I came back for home assignment, they had made a little banner that was French themed. But just seeing how
the connections there with everyone in the church still exist, and even the children and their parents together praying for me, for the work that's happening here, for what God's doing. That's really, really touching, that it's like, it's not just the adults who I was friends with at the church. No, it's everyone in the church. They have loved me, they've sent me, and in God's kindness, like, it just feels like we're still a family, all different ages. Then the church itself, I know there are people praying for me individually, and sometimes they'll send a little message, and that's really encouraging. But then also, sometimes I'll get like a big group wave, or a photo from the church as a whole for the prayer evening. And that impact of that is really, that's really important. I can't even think of the word, but like, it's very impactful that you, when you remember, okay, we are Christians together, living for God's glory together, and it's not at one individual. So that's really helpful, really encouraging, and that spread of ages, yeah, that's been it's been super fun.
one of the churches, every single member sent a Christmas card. They used to, so at Christmas we'd get an envelope that was just full of handwritten cards, and they were really, that was really lovely.
Very encouraging verses and just really personal messages.
We had another time where they did a special Christmas gift book, didn't they? And so this was where they'd actually asked, what is it that the Juniper Tree, when we were working for the Juniper Tree, what would they really appreciate? And so they had this book, and it was full of things like Marmite and other things that would just be nice luxuries for people coming. And so people gave money especially for those gifts. That was really lovely.
People just messaging to say, how can I pray for you? Even if they get my newsletters, even if they're on my WhatsApp group, just another message to say, how can I be praying for you? Because I'm not going to put everything that's private onto all my newsletters and WhatsApp groups. So that's made me feel really loved. I mean, someone coming to visit is quite nice too. But communication for me has been the biggest thing that I felt loved by.
Yeah, I think always just little, it's the little things really that I think make you feel the most loved. As I said, it's the specific mentions of things that people have been praying for that shows that they have, you know, read your prayer letter or prayed for you or listened in as the prayers were happening at church. Yeah, I think that's a really big thing. I think when people reply to my prayer letter, that's always lovely. There's one girl at my sending church who does it every time.
So hopeful. I hope that some of that feedback has been helpful for you, and that some of the things that we've talked through are helpful for you in your context. And I'm just aware that, you know, it's very easy to rush away from these sessions and you almost forget what you've heard. So feel free as we close just to think through in your own context whether there are things that you can apply in your own church. Maybe some of that is thinking through the things we talked about at the beginning and reflecting back. I don't know if anyone has any burning questions. We've got, I think, 10 minutes. But feel free to ask questions or come up and chat to me at the end or message me on the app. Always very willing to talk further about this. Do people have any questions specifically? Otherwise, I'll let you reflect and you can just head out when you feel like it.